Hello, and welcome to the Let's Talk Attachments podcast. My name is Jessica Da Silva, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and an attachment coach, helping adults end their unhealthy dating patterns and create stronger, secure relationships. Attachment theory gives us insight into how we currently experience love through understanding our earlier attachment dynamics. I created this podcast as a safe space to share stories and insights on different aspects of attachment so that you can better understand how this manifests in your own life. My only request is that you listen with an open heart and an open mind. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hello, and welcome to today's podcast episode, where we're going to talk about how the different attachment styles parent their children and some tweaks you can make to begin forming those secure bonds. So it's important to note that our attachment style, or, you know, our way of relating, connecting, and experiencing love has a direct effect on the lives of our children. Essentially, we are modeling to our children how to relate to themselves and others, right? Not only this, but we're teaching them how to manage their emotions, how to communicate, how to self-soothe, you know, how to make sense of the world, and so much more. Studies actually suggest that, you know, we raise children in ways that reflect our own attachment style. So please do not feel bad as I go through some of these descriptions. Parents already experience enough guilt as it is, but instead choose to see this information as a way to help you perhaps strengthen the bonds with your kids. Okay, so we're going to start with the anxious attachment style. Anxious attachment style can develop as a result of early experiences with caregivers that were inconsistent, unresponsive, or emotionally unavailable. So when a child's needs for comfort, reassurance, and protection are not consistently met by their primary caregivers, the child may develop a sense of insecurity and uncertainty in their attachment relationships. So an anxious attachment parent may be highly attentive and responsive to their child's needs and requests. They may be hypersensitive to their child's cues for attention or affection and may respond quickly and intensely to their child's requests. So keep in mind that a lot of the time with the anxious attachment parents, anxious attachments in general, because they have such a hard time with self-soothing and managing their own anxiety, they will sometimes meet the needs of others. Well, they're just not as attuned to meeting the needs of others in the way that that specific person needs, right? They're often subconsciously, you know, meeting their own needs and trying to manage their own anxieties by being super attentive and careful and protective, okay? So a lot of the times, a lot of these behaviors are coming from their own anxieties, right? Trying to manage and navigate their own anxieties. They may be highly expressive of their love and affection. They may be highly protective, meaning they may be overly cautious of their child's safety and well-being, and may be quick to intervene or take action to protect their child from perceived threats or dangers. They may struggle with boundaries or separation, and, you know, just have a hard time letting their child explore and just grow independently. They may feel anxious or upset when their child is not within their immediate reach or control. They may have difficulty regulating their own emotions, which can impact their ability to respond effectively to their children's needs. So this is really similar to my mom, who had a, you know, or has, still has a fearful avoidant attachment style, leaning definitely more towards, you know, anxious attachment. Remember, we all fall in a spectrum. But she always kept me very close to her side the first 5 years of life. You know, she would tell me stories that she'd drop me off at, you know, preschool, and I would throw tantrums because I didn't want her to leave. Or, you know, she would be driving and I would just want to be sitting on her lap because I just wanted to be close to her the entire time. And, you know, there's so many reasons why I just had this like separation anxiety, for instance, and this insecure attachment style, because I had a lot of attention those first 5 years, and then my sisters came into the picture. My mom started working a lot, you know, my dad left. So there were just so many circumstances that were just so out of her control. And of course, you know, it impacted my attachment style. It impacted my sister's attachment style. So it's just, again, I express this because so much of our parenting, right, and so much of what we can offer our children are sometimes out of our control in a lot of ways, right? Because of circumstances, because of resources, right? Because of just so many different factors. So this is why it's just so important to show grace with yourself, to have grace with yourself and compassion with yourself with this parenting journey, because, you know, we're just doing the best that we can. We are just doing the best that we can. So parents with a dismissive avoidant attachment style may have difficulty connecting emotionally with their child, as they tend to avoid emotional expression and may, prioritize their independence over their child's emotional needs. So this was my dad, for example, and I share with you these experiences because I want to give you context so you can better understand what this all means. My dad had more of a dismissive avoidant attachment style, so he was, you know, he kind of always prioritized himself over our well-being and over our needs. And, you know, I understand that now, which is what's so great about having this knowledge of, you know, attachment theory and these different orientations, because we have more compassion for these people, right? We have more compassion for our parents, and we realize, wow, you're just a human, right? The way that you parented is just, you know, is how your parents parented you, right? It's, you kind of learn these ways of relating from the people that were supposed to take care of you. So I understand that you did not have the tools. You did not have the knowledge to take care of me the way that I needed. So it just helps us, you know, it gives us so much more compassion when we have this insight, when we have this knowledge. Other things with dismissive avoidance: they may not be very responsive to their children's emotional needs, right? They may not offer comfort when their child is upset or seems kind of disinterested in their child's feelings. They may appear emotionally distant or disconnected from their children and may not really engage in activities that require that emotional connection. Right? Like playing toys and reading books. They may encourage their children to be independent and self-sufficient from a young age and not really offer much support or guidance when their child is struggling with new tasks and kind of just expecting them to figure things out on their own. This was again with my dad. You know, my parents divorced when I was 12, and my dad just trying to teach me how to do accounting, to help out my mom with paying the bills. And I resisted so much back then because I was like, I'm not supposed to be doing this kind of stuff. But the pros to that, I guess the pros to that was, you know, learning to, learning these skills and learning to be a little bit more independent. But, sometimes they can just be very, again, misattuned and neglectful with what it is that we're actually needing at that age, right? Or at that specific time. So again, it's not really thinking about our needs. It's more so thinking about their needs. They may downplay the importance of emotions and may not express their own emotions openly. They may not validate their child's emotions or, you know, acknowledge the significance of emotional experiences. They may be critical or judgmental of their children's behaviors or choices and set really high standards and expectations, and, you know, be really harsh when their, you know, kids don't meet them. Which can make their children feel like they're not good enough or inadequate, which are, you know, feelings that tend to be very pervasive when they're older, right? These feelings of I'm inadequate, I'm just not good enough. So these feelings and these experiences really do get carried into our adult life. They may be inconsistent in their parenting, kind of switching between being emotionally distant and critical to being, you know, very indulgent and permissive. So moving on to fearful avoidance. So fearful avoidant attachment style, has, you know, they have a simultaneous desire for closeness and distance, right? Remember fearful avoidance, they have both anxious and avoidant tendencies. They may struggle with parenting their children as their own attachment style can impact their ability to form healthy, secure relationships with their kids. So they tend to have a hard time maintaining consistent parenting behaviors as their own inner conflict about attachment can lead to inconsistent or just really unpredictable ways of responding to their children's needs. They may also experience emotional distance with their children as they are often afraid to form strong emotional connections because of their own fears of rejection and abandonment. They may experience anxiety around their children as they kind of worry about, you know, their ability to parent effectively and may be fearful of those negative outcomes. Again, this was my mom, right? Having more of that fearful avoidant. She said it was a lot easier to show us love when we were younger as opposed to when we were older. She was just a lot more cold and distant when we were older because I think she was just having her own fears and her own anxieties about, you know, relating to us and really, you know, loving us in the way that we needed. So that was really interesting to hear. They may also overcompensate for their own fears and insecurities by becoming overly involved or controlling in their children's lives. They may be afraid of rejection or abandonment by their children, right? Leading them to be overly cautious or distant in their parenting. That was very much like my mother. Now, if you resonate with one or more of these parenting styles, it is not your fault. It is not your fault. The way that we parent our children is similar to how our parents parented us and how their parents parented them. So attachment styles, they are passed down from generation to generation until we become aware of these patterns and begin to break them. Something that just came to mind, I had a client once who wanted me to help her with how she parented her animal, how she parented her dog, because she was noticing that she was kind of behaving in the same ways that her parents behaved with her. So it's just, it's, you know, if you don't have kids, it's, think about how you parent your animal, right? You're going to start seeing some of those very familiar behaviors. It's also important to note that we may exhibit a combination of different attachment styles, you know, in our parenting. And while insecure attachments may have some potential challenges in parenting, it doesn't mean that they can't form a secure attachment with their child. Okay, so even though you have an insecure attachment style, such as the anxious, fearful, avoidant, or dismissive avoidant, or a combination of those, it does not mean that you can't change. You can't change that. You definitely can. So I'm going to talk about some things that you can do to begin implementing into your relationship to begin, you know, creating those secure bonds. So secure parents are emotionally available to their children. And sorry, I wanted to preface and say that this is for the majority of the time, right? So we're human. We are not perfect. No person is 100% securely attached, right? So when I, you know, when I talk about some of these different behaviors, these secure ways of relating to your kids, of parenting your kids, it's not that you have to do this 100% of the time, because it's just impossible to do this 100% of the time. But it's just, you know, if you do this consistent enough, so you want to just implement this the majority of the time. You want to be consistent with these practices, but it does not have to be perfect and it does not have to be 100% of the time. All right. So secure parents are emotionally, in general, they are emotionally available to their children, right? They actively listen. They respond to their kids in a kind of like a sensitive way. They validate their child's emotions. They provide comfort and reassurance when their child is upset or distressed. In general, they establish consistent routines and rules, right? They follow through with their commitments and promises, creating a sense of predictability and security for their children. They are attuned to their child's needs and responds promptly and appropriately. And they're just sensitive to their child's cues, right? Whether it's, you know, the physical comfort that maybe they need, attention maybe that they're needing, or just engagement in play. They promote their child's independence and autonomy and, you know, kind of just create opportunities for their child to explore and make decisions for themselves while offering that guidance and support, okay, simultaneously. They foster open and honest communication with their children, you know, encouraging them to express their thoughts and their feelings and their concerns without judgment. They establish clear boundaries and guidelines for their children. For their children's behavior. They use positive reinforcement to acknowledge and encourage their child's behavior and achievements. They prioritize building trust with their children, right? So they're reliable, they're honest, and they're dependable. They teach their children healthy ways to manage and regulate their emotions. And they provide guidance and, you know, just model effective coping strategies, helping their children learn to identify and express their emotions appropriately. And they prioritize spending quality time with their children. Okay. So they engage in play, they, you know, activities and just conversations that strengthen the parent-child bond. So this is why, you guys, it's so important to really learn to become securely attached yourself. So all of these things we talked about here, it's a process of self-reparenting, right? When we self-reparent, which is a beautiful healing process, we basically parent ourselves in these ways that we needed to create that secure attachment. Because if you can start relating to yourself in this way, it's going to be so much easier for you to model this type of behavior to your kids, right? Because they are always learning from you, whether it is directly or indirectly, right? Whether you are directly expressing these things or, you know, indirectly expressing these things. So just keep that in mind. Like, if you can be that secure attachment for yourself, your kids will pick up on that. So it's also important to recognize that no parent is perfect. Again, no parent is perfect. We're all human. And, you know, we have moments of stress and challenge and distraction that can impact our ability to be consistently responsive, right? So what matters most is the overall pattern of parenting behaviors over time. So if parents can just consistently provide secure parenting for the majority of their interactions, not 100%, but the majority of their interactions with their children, it greatly increases the likelihood of developing a secure attachment. So again, we all fall on a spectrum. So it could be that, you know, maybe your child is going to be secure with a little bit of anxious tendencies or maybe some avoidant tendencies. It's part of life. It is just part of life. Also important to note that secure attachment is a dynamic process influenced by multiple factors, right, that are sometimes out of your control, such as a child's temperament, right? Experiences outside of the parent-child relationship that you just do not have control over, and the overall quality of the child's environment. So, you know, there's so many different factors that could impact our unique attachment style. Parenting is super complex and no parent is perfect. So again, the goal is to not be perfect all the time, but to strive for secure attachment by just being present and responsive and nurturing as consistently as possible. Even if there are occasional lapses or mistakes, repair and reconnection are important aspects of the parent-child relationship that can help strengthen the bond and support, you know, that secure attachment. So please give yourself grace during this process. By implementing these new ways of parenting, you are essentially breaking generational patterns of attachment that are deeply embedded in your body. So this is not going to be a night and day transition. So please erase that unrealistic expectation from your mind. Just take it day by day, do your best, and have compassion with yourself during this process. All right, sending you all the love. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you got some amazing insights from this conversation. If you're interested in learning about ways to work with me on a one-on-one basis or through my self-study e-course, My Secure Self, you can explore those options further within the links in the show notes. Sending you all the love and courage moving forward. See you next time.